Hello, this is the Best Soccer Show. I'm Jason Davis. This week, we're talking all about American soccer phenom Giovanni Reyna. He's the son of an American great. He's 17 years old. He's making waves at Borussia Dortmund in one of the best leagues in the world, the Bundesliga in Germany. And on this show, we're going to dive into everything about Giovanni Reyna from a Dortmund perspective. On the show today, Stefan Buschko from the Yellow Wall Podcast, one of the best out there covering Borussia Dortmund. Before we get to Stefan, before we talk about his perspective on Giovanni Reyna and where he fits in into Lucien Favre's plans and all of that important stuff, you notice that my friend Jared Dubois is not here, so let's bug the man. All right, man. Are you busy? Can I have like 10 minutes here to talk to you?
You know I'm busy. I have two kids and my wife's at work. And so, yeah, I'm busy, but I like talking to you.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good to know. You're not smoking any meat or I don't know. What else do you do?
I mean, there's a Galaxy game tonight. I'm ordering sushi. I have things going on that are very California right now.
Okay. Well, let's do 10 good minutes here because this show is all about Giovanni Reyna, and we're going to talk to Stefan Buschko from the Yellow Wall Podcast. Obviously, look, 17 years old, exciting player. We're all in on Giovanni Reyna. I'm going to break this all down with his situation at Borussia Dortmund. And here's a question, right? So obviously, he's not even the first Reyna to play in Germany. His dad played in Germany. His dad was there doing his thing. And if you look at the
Wolfsburg, I can't remember where he was at.
I believe it's Wolfsburg. I believe you were.
I want to picture a W on his chest. I'm not sure if I'm correct on
Wait,
that.
Wait, on his chest, like across his chest, like he's a superhero named like.
Well, this is back in the day where it wasn't quite as big sponsors and stuff like that. I wanted to say like the actual club crest was kind of big, but I could be blanking on that. I could be wrong. I'm not sure, but he was in Germany. I know that
he did play 48 times for Wolfsburg. On loan from Leverkusen.
Yeah.
He was at Leverkusen before and during that stint. So a little bit of time in Germany is where he started his career. Giovanni Reyna started his career in Germany. Claudio Reyna started his career in Germany after leaving University of Virginia. And if you look at his numbers, 74 appearances, 6 goals. So how long does it take Giovanni at 17 being an attacking player? Because that Claudio was not, right? How long does it take him to beat those numbers?
Well, I think he'll have 6 goals. I mean, if you count preseason, he already has them.
That's true.
Didn't he get 4 in preseason, 1 already this year, a Champions League goal last year.
Yeah, but are you going to?
You're calling just Bundesliga.
Yeah, let's consider the Bundesliga.
Here's the bigger question. He's going to beat it. He'll beat it in the next, I don't know, 10 games. But I'm counting the preseason. If you're not going to count the preseason, I would say I think he could do it by Christmas, to be honest with you.
Wow.
But here's the thing. I don't think Gio does 70-some games in the Bundesliga.
You think he's gone before then?
I mean, that's what, 2 good seasons if you're playing European competition as well?
Yeah, that's. I mean, if Giovanni Reyna got 25 starts this year, I think that would be a big number, right? So 25 starts in a year, but maybe 30, 33 appearances, something like that, coming off the bench.
Was Claudio starts or appearances that you were giving me?
I believe those are just appearances. I don't think those are starts.
Yeah.
So
I think Giorena gets close to 70-some appearances in 2 seasons. So the question is, will Gio be in the Bundesliga for more than 2 seasons? I don't know.
What?
Yeah, like, we're putting a lot on this kid, but look at the Dortmund track record.
Yeah.
Dembele's in and out, Aubameyang's in and out, Pulisic had, what, 2 seasons? Was it 2 senior team seasons, I think?
It might have been 2 seasons and part of another. I think he made his debut as a 16-year-old and then got a couple of seasons kind of floating in and out before he was really a regular. So, yeah, I mean, they do have that reputation.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're still playing at Dortmund at 21, something went wrong.
Well, but at the same time, that's a Champions League level club. They're in a good year with Bayern down a little bit. They can challenge for a Bundesliga title. Why wouldn't you maybe want to just stay there for a while? And
I don't think it's the fact that he's not going to want to stay there or not. I think Dortmund's going to want to sell him. They're a selling factory. They're the modern Ajax.
I'm looking at their numbers. It is insane. So in the 2018-19 season, Pulisic, Socrates, Yarmolenko, Marino, Castro, 114 million euros. In 2017-18, Dembele, Aubameyang, Hinter, Moore, Bender, Ramos, 251 million euros. And the year before that, Mkhitaryan, Hummels, Gundogan, Błaszczykowski. I mean, yeah, it's you're right. This definitely
by the way,
that.
Did I say a Bunglehore?
You did.
I did not mean to say that.
You meant Aubameyang. Yeah, that's old
you
man.
You start with the first like six sounds the same. And I'm going to finish the seventh and eighth sound.
Well, so your old man moment was confusing Gabby Bunglehore with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. My old man moment was not calling you on it because obviously those are very different players. So
you knew who I meant.
I did know who you meant. I trusted you that you had.
Okay, but here's the thing. Do you think he plays more than this year and next year? If let's assume he follows Christian Pulisic's path in terms of amount of attention, amount of starts, amount of contribution to the team, I don't think he's there in, was that 2022?
Yeah, he would be, so he's 17 now. That would mean a sale when he's 19. Is that the year that it happens? I mean, because
that's what happened for Pulisic. I mean, that's what happens for a lot of guys at Dortmund. I mean, why would he be different? That's the thing. Dortmund sells and makes lots of money off turning youth. It's what they do. Europe is basically made out of this factory at this point. You know, like, okay, who's Dortmund got these days? Okay, that's worth 20 million. Let's move on. They're just a factory. And the fact that they got Haaland in there somehow, and they're going to turn a huge profit on him.
Yeah.
He's going to be sold before long. They're not going to hold him. They're going to be just enough. I honestly think they're happy being second in the Bundesliga and cash strong.
Maybe. I mean, again, they know they can't compete with Bayern Munich, and that's part of the reason for the sales. Do you want to guess how many appearances? Because you're saying that Giovanni Reyna won't get to 74, which is the number his dad had, before moving on to Sunderland, I think. Do you want to guess how many appearances Christian Pulisic had for Dortmund before he moved on?
Oof. All appearances. And we're appearances. Not talking about preseason or anything like that. Just appearances.
Not preseason and not just starts. All appearances across the board.
Okay, Bundesliga Champions League, because I'm not going to count like, I doubt they're counting like when they came to the U.S. on tour.
I don't have, no, again, preseason out the window. Stop trying to, I don't have Champions League appearances. I only have Bundesliga appearances.
I'm going to say Christian Pulisic had 62 appearances.
For Borussia Dortmund, he actually had 90 appearances. For
90,
Dortmund.
Wow.
Because I told you, he started when he was 16. He got 9 appearances in 2015, 2016, when he was only 16 years of age.
So he's going to have an extra year on Gio, basically.
Well,
if they were to both leave at 19.
If they both leave, so yeah, and Pulisic left it at 19. So it was 9 his first year, 29 his second year, which, by the way, if that's the number.
30 a season is what he was averaging then.
Yeah, roughly that. Well, he had 20 in his final year because he had some injuries. With Dortmund that kept him out.
And
remember, it's Sancho
before the end of the season, so he was already I don't want to say persona non grata, but there's no point in necessarily investing with him when he was already sold to Chelsea down the street.
Well, and again, you had Jadon Sancho who had arrived and was taking up a lot of not the exact minutes that Pulisic would have gotten, but it had changed the dynamics in the attack for Dortmund. So yeah, so I think you're right that he's not going to get to 90. 74 is maybe a little bit different. But you know,
it's just a matter of whether or not he's going to make it. What age he's going to sell at Dortmund, and if it's going to be 19, if it's 20, he's got. I think it's fair to say he has more hype around him than Pulisic did at 17 at Dortmund.
I think that's probably fair, but I also think that Pulisic like blazed the path for him, so that we are more looking towards Dortmund, recognizing what can be possible there. Because, and again, he's the son of an American legend. Christian Pulisic wasn't that. So when he popped up at 16, getting minutes for Dortmund, we were all like, oh, where'd he come from? Hershey, Pennsylvania? Who the hell is this kid? Do you say it Pulisic? Do you say Pulisic? Do you say Pulisic? We, you know, there were all those things. We didn't even really know him that well. Giovanni Reyna, we have a book on him already. I mean, not just because he's getting...
Well, here's the thing, too. With Gio Reyna, is he more or less desirable, and will he cost more or less money than Pulisic? Because you could argue Pulisic's position is more valuable in the modern game than what Gio does.
You mean coming out, playing a playmaker from the wing, that position?
Is slashing that winger.
Yeah.
Slashing winger up from the top of a 4-3-3. You're going to have to play. I don't think Gio Reyna falls into just every lineup in that's out there.
No, but I think.
Not everyone plays that advanced playmaker anymore.
I think that this is true, but I think that coaches will find a way to get Gio on the field. Plus, I think he's more physically ready at 17 than Christian Pulisic was. Which I think it matters.
In terms of, you mean like stature, he can take a hit?
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to be as easily knocked off the ball. You can play him in a couple of different positions.
If you're going to play in the middle of the field, you better have that.
Right. Well, and obviously he has those attacking attributes, but he can do a couple of different things. And I'm not saying you want him out on the wing playing the style of that Christian Pulisic does or did for Dortmund and does for Chelsea. But that's he wouldn't be a disaster out there either. And you certainly know that he would be good on the ball and he would make smart decisions with the ball when he has the opportunity to play. It's up in the air.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because what's going to align with this is that there's going to be a 2022 World Cup right at the moment where Giovanni Reyna is going to be prime selling real estate for Dortmund.
The World Cup might be the trigger. He might go the summer after that World Cup because that'll be his stage.
Yeah, or even winter window. I'm not sure how that winter window is going to work with the World Cup there.
That's right.
During
stupid Qatari World Cup throwing me all off with the rhythms. Yeah. Damn it. All right.
Yeah, so you may look, so there might, it could be that window in the 2023 January window that might be a key moving point for him. But, and I'm also not sure when his contract is over and if Dortmund is going to extend it through the World Cup. But that's one thing he's going to have that Pulisic didn't have in terms of a springboard for his platform.
Well, you hope. We cross our fingers they make the World Cup. He gets that chance to show off. And
well,
then,
the best soccer show's back, dude.
That's right.
So you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, the United States men's national team never missed a World Cup when the best soccer show was on the air, and we don't intend to start now. It's not going to happen.
I mean, I wasn't the first to say it. I'm just the first to tattoo it on my arm.
There you go. Jared, thank you, man. Go take care of your kids. Smoke your meat. Do your stuff. Clean your pool.
Well, sushi.
All right. Get your sushi. Bye. All right. Who better to talk about Borussia Dortmund and Giovanni Reyna with than Stefan Buschko from the Yellow Wad podcast, who joins me now. Hi, Stefan. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming by. Obviously, for American soccer fans, it's pretty heady times with a lot of American players making their way in Europe at some of the biggest clubs. Now, it's not new to have an American at Dortmund, but maybe this 17-year-old is doing things we didn't expect quite yet. Giovanni Reyna.
I haven't heard that one before.
he starts in the opening game of the new season. He scores a goal. He's part of this group of young, talented attacking players at Dortmund. And that's not new either, is it? To have young, attacking, talented players at Dortmund.
You're breaking old news here.
Well, tell me what you thought about Gio in his first game of the season.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting to see how fluid Lucien Favre, the coach, is setting this up, because Dortmund right now basically play in a 3-4-2-1 system. You have a back line with three center backs, then you have the midfield, and that's all more or less static, right? And then you have Jadon Sancho and Gio Reyna in a very free-flowing role, and up top you have Erling Haaland. And what is so interesting is that Jadon Sancho is 20, obviously a big rumor mill all summer, whether he goes to Manchester United or not. But he is also only 20 years old. And then you have Gio Reyna, and both have been awarded a role where they don't have any fixed position on the field. So you've seen Gio Reyna against Gladbach play as a number 8, as a number 10, a little bit of a winger, as a number 9. Basically, if you follow him around, he is practically everywhere, and he is already basically responsible for establishing the connections between attack, midfield, and defense, which is obviously very important and very tricky in soccer to achieve on a regular. So, I think the main takeaway now that Gio Reyna starts and how he is doing it in recent games, also in the cup match, is that Lucien Favre actually sticks by his word, because Lucien Favre, the coach, always, when asked about Gio Reyna, first highlights his footballing IQ, his intelligence on the field, how he positions himself cleverly off the ball, on the ball. And I think that is exactly what we see now, that the coach is trusting Gio Reyna to utilize his footballing IQ to actually have this amount of freedom and not waste it.
Well, that's not a bad Gladbach team that they beat either, right? I mean, we're not talking about the dregs of the Bundesliga. So clearly Favre believes in this young group, including Gio Reyna, and they got the job. They can only build to something, you know, better for Gio, although we can't expect him to start every week.
No, obviously not. Also, we mustn't forget there's this young player coming through the ranks called Marco Reus, the team captain, who obviously as often as
he's a myth though at this point,
yeah,
Stefan.
Yeah, he's coming back from injury, but he and Gio Reyna are basically playing a very similar position, so I assume there will be some job sharing at some point. But I really don't know if Reyna has pipped Reus or not, because Reus last season when he was fit wasn't playing at his very best, and Gio Reyna is obviously someone you would like to bet on. At the same time, Marco Reus is a legend in Dortmund already, because he never made the big move to Bayern or anywhere else, and he's still a very valuable player to the team, and they're paying a lot of money. And at the end of the day, there's always a little bit of politics in soccer, so it might just be that Favre feels like he must pick Reus, even if he feels that Reyna is better. But I think at the same time, you could find a way to play both. But there is also another player called Julian Brandt hanging around. So the competition in this Dortmund midfield is quite high, and Gio Reyna needs to play on this level consistently to stick around. And obviously, he's just 17 years old, and we all know that these kids go through dips. We've seen the same with Christian Pulisic. Mm-hmm. We've seen the same with Jadon Sancho and so on. So it would only be natural if he gets a break at some point, especially with this current schedule.
And obviously the schedule is part of this. And I think the circumstances are something we should talk about, just because of COVID-19 and the maybe less pressure on a young player without the entire stadium being full and all of that. I don't know what you think about that. We'll come to it. But I do think it's interesting, because, you know, this is why Giovanni Reyna chose to sign with Dortmund, right? And this is why Erling Haaland decided to sign with Dortmund, because they had other options. Why Jadon Sancho hasn't left yet, maybe, because there's a culture at Dortmund that says young kids are going to get a chance, that this is a club, despite their ambition, will give these players an opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's also the reason why Dortmund ultimately signed Jude Bellingham, who now already at 17, coming from Birmingham City, looks like the real deal, and like someone that Dortmund could really utilize in the future in their central midfield. And yeah, I think Dortmund are on the verge of signing another Manchester City youth academy talent called Bayern Gittens, who is also just 17 years old, has the same agent as Jadon Sancho. So there is an established pipeline, and Dortmund haven't done this just for the last 3 or 4 years, but I think ever since Jürgen Klopp arrived and established this sort of reputation for Dortmund, that young players like, say, Mario Götze can make it there, they've been able to build on it and continue it. So now they're basically the top address in Europe for the most talented 16 years old and 17 years old and so on.
We just saw a SportsCenter, ESPN, do a profile on Giovanni Reyna with Sam Borden, which, you know, looked at his life at this point. He's 17. Apparently, he's living on his own in Dortmund. He's riding around with Erling Haaland. They're going back and forth to training with one another. I don't know what the soundtrack is in that car. I'd be very curious to know what that's like, Stefan. But what do you think it's like for a 17-year-old to be on his... I mean, obviously, he has a pedigree, right? That helps. But what is it like to be 17, to be a professional footballer, to be in Germany on your own, away from your family? How do you think he handles all this?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, because it must be crazy. So you probably feel a little bit like Alice in Wonderland the entire time, because it's really hard to grasp how quickly this goes. I mean, just a year ago, he was 19 years, not 19, he was playing for the under 19.
Under 19, sir.
Right. And he was just a regular youth player, I would say. And now you're basically getting interviews, you get features on SportsCenter, on ESPN, as you just said. So there are just so many things that just accelerated and took off. And I think Christian Pulisic talked a lot about the fact that he just cannot realize that you know, at some point you need to pause and reflect. But right now during the season, you hardly have the time to do that. So right now, I think I would say mostly what they're doing is enjoying themselves and having a lot of fun, because you can already see the friendships between him and Bellingham and Haaland and Sancho. So that's another big advantage of being a club that has a lot of kids, that they can all become friends. Well, you never know, you know, because there's still human chemistry and stuff like that involved. But it's usual that you want to, you know, hang around with your peers. And that's certainly what's happening right now. So Dortmund actually are establishing these partnerships on the field and off the field, which is very helpful maybe to keep these guys around for a little bit longer.
The ambition of the club. I mean, obviously, you know, there's Bayern Munich and then there's Borussia Dortmund, and then there's kind of everybody else. I mean, I'm being generalizing here, but that means that they do want to win the league. They do want to go deep into the Champions League, and yet they still have this commitment and they're still giving time to young players. And obviously in last year, you know, it worked out in ways. Clearly this season, one match is worked out so far. How do you think Favre and obviously the club balance sort of challenging for those things? And then what does that mean for Giovanni Reyna if the club decides, okay, maybe the kids aren't ready to handle the pressure of that?
Well, I think they clearly have decided that the kids are ready to handle the pressure. And in the past, it has shown that they can do it. The real problem is that there is not really an alternative strategy for Dortmund right now. Also, once you have built the reputation of being able to more highly talented 17 and 18-year-olds into world-class stars, maybe then you shouldn't opt to do another thing. But yeah, it's difficult because you just financially cannot challenge Bayern whatsoever. They're just so far ahead of everyone else, and they're obviously enjoying the positive feedback loop. They just won the Champions League, more prize money, they only get richer. So yeah, it's really almost impossible to challenge Bayern. But obviously in the Champions League, Dortmund are competitive. I think they were very close against PSG, who obviously pay a little bit more money to the superstars than Dortmund are. But I mean, there's also a very healthy core of very mature players like the Mats Hummels and Axel Witsels of the world, who are in their 29 years, close to 30 years, and a bit beyond. So That's really a very healthy balance that Dortmund have right now. And I would say this, in the past years, they had to find it a little bit, because it wasn't always there and the team was a bit too immature. But I think the Gladbach win actually showed that this team has gained a level of maturity now that we haven't seen as often from Dortmund in the last three or so years. But in the last year, it's been developing, and now they can play against the Champions League qualification team, basically, and not have any nerves in the final 20 minutes or so. Just play it down coolly.
We hope that, you know, that Gio gets... what's the target? I guess that's a good question. What would you think would be a good... return for Giovanni Reyna on this season? How many league starts, how much Champions League time, those kind of things?
I don't know. I think if he gets, let's say, in the Bundesliga has 34 games, if he gets 25 starts, that would be a very good number.
That'd be a great number. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good news is Dortmund right now are trying to sign him to a five-year deal as soon as he turns 18, basically on his 18th birthday. You know, they do a little... I don't know, wrap his contract in a little present or something like that. obviously, they are trying to nail him down for the long term, because he is a player that you can build on, right? So they know that. So there's not any incentive not to play Gio Reyna. So I think he has already proven that he can be thrown like he did in the home leg against PSG into the deep end in the Champions League. So he's ready for that. He is awfully calm with this young head in such an environment. So, probably overall, we're looking at a 30 to 35 game season.
Mm. The balance between sort of putting players in the shop window versus just we're using these players. We have them in our team. We're trying to win things and collect trophies at Dortmund. And again, the Bayern Munich wall that's there, trying to break through that, and the Champions League, which is, you know, only one club can win the Champions League every year. And Dortmund is, you know, 10th on the list of clubs that might have a chance at it. That's not bad by any stretch, but it's clearly there's a recognition of what the ceiling is. Like you said, trying to compete with the PSGs and the Bayerns of the world. So is any of that, and he's definitely signed Giovanni Reyna if you think he's the real deal, but just like with Sancho and the speculation around him and Pulisic, who did leave, and all the other players that have gone from Dortmund to maybe Bayern or other places, is some of that okay? In 3 years' time, Giovanni Reyna is going to be worth 85 mil and we sell him.
Yeah, no, this is definitely what is going to happen. And obviously what puts Dortmund apart from, let's say, a super club where you basically hardly ever lose any talent. I mean, Bayern Munich just lost Thiago to Liverpool, and how rare was that they actually lost a key player? So, yeah, this almost never happens for the super teams that have, I don't know, an oligarch or a whole state backing them.
Petrodollars, so, yeah, all of that.
Yeah, so it's obviously tough for Dortmund to perpetually replace these talents, because Jadon Sancho right now is one of the best players in the Bundesliga. And he will be gone next summer. And Erling Haaland has a release clause in his contract, I think, that activates in 2021. So he might actually be gone by January if he really would want to leave, which I don't think. But it's possible that Dortmund will be without Haaland and Sancho starting next season. So, you know, Dortmund fans will be like, this is the year, because next year everyone's gone. So yeah, I think it's a good question to ask, but the answer is that you can't really break the habit, because Dortmund at its core are more or less a selling club, just because otherwise it's not financially feasible for them. Sadly, soccer is still a business, and unless you have someone who evens out your big minus, then you will just run the club into the ground, like we see in Gelsenkirchen right now, where Schalke and Fia are very close on bankruptcy.
Yeah, that kind of comes back to the moment that we're in, and I'm sure Dortmund, like everybody else, is being impacted by the pandemic and no fans and all of the things, and I'm sure there's been a slowdown in all areas of their business. And for a player, this is kind of what I wanted to talk about, was 17-year-old American, and maybe that isn't as much of a factor, again, because he's Claudio Reyna's son and because he's been exposed to some pretty intense footballing environments, Stefan. But do you think that this is an easier adaptation period for a young player? Like you don't think it matters if there's nobody in the building?
No. I'll be honest. I've talked to enough footballers about this, and they always tell me, look, I've played most of my life without any fans and any big crowd, so I'm used to it. And I don't know whether it helps or does anything psychologically in this regard, but I highly doubt it. I think, especially when you're on the football field and playing, you soak in the atmosphere, but you do it more subconsciously than consciously. So I think he'll be fine. I mean, If anything, for a home game, you want to obviously score your first goal in front of a full stadium, then let's say less than 10,000 people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, this whatever the process of being integrated fully into the team is, I mean, he is handling it very well. And this leads us to a question that American fans are asking right now, is whether or not Giovanni Reyna should be, look, a starter is maybe a different question, because we're not playing games right now. The international soccer world, at least for the United States, has stopped, and there won't be anything until at least November, and that's a friendly, and then next year's when qualification starts. But Stefan Buschko, if you were the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, if you're Greg Berhalter, are you starting Giovanni Reyna in an important game right now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he has shown at Dortmund that he can handle the pressure, quote-unquote. I mean, maybe it's different. Maybe the American exceptionalism makes him get a little antsy about playing for his country, maybe sheds a little tear, maybe gets this an eagle tattooed. I don't know what's going on. But more likely than not, I think if I were the coach of the United States men's national team, I would just play him and throw him in, because you tell me, who would be the alternative players to him right now in let's say number 10 or number 8 position?
Sure. You know, there aren't a lot. I mean, obviously, I think what most people imagine is a midfield that involves Giovanni Reyna, Tyler Adams, and Weston McKennie. And obviously, both of those players have been recently in the Bundesliga, so you know them pretty well from watching them play. It's just a matter of how you combine them. And this is where the tactical wrinkles come in for Berhalter. You just said that at Dortmund with Favre, that Giovanni Reyna is playing a very free role. I wonder if the head coach of the men's national team, with Christian Pulisic in that team, and obviously he doesn't have the quality up top in Josh Sargent, who we hope was one day be something, or whoever starts, Jozy Altidore still maybe the best option. He doesn't have those same pieces. Is he able to allow Giovanni Reyna to be in that free role? I think that's a very good question.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be in a free role. It's just Favre taking advantage of it because he's a good coach and he knows what Gio Reyna is capable of. But if you put him in a more static position, he'll do just fine. He's done this before too when he played for Dortmund. So I don't think that's a big ask. Plus, Greg Berhalter will probably choose a very different tactic than Borussia Dortmund because he has such different players at his disposal. But yeah, I mean, we mustn't forget how talented Gio Reyna is, and for 17 years how physical he already is. You know, he can really go head to head with other full grown professional players. Meanwhile, Christian Pulisic's very very iconic form on the field was often just sitting there with his arms in the air, just because he was just bounced off by another defender. So that doesn't happen so often to Gio Reyna. So yeah, I don't have any qualms about him playing for the U.S. men's national team. In fact, I think you should get very excited because the prospect of him and Pulisic and so on and Tyler Adams combining together, I think, is a very tasty one. I don't know if it would lead to World Cup glory. Probably not. Probably these players will be cursed with the American press slashing them for yet another group stage exit or something like that. At least in the Copa America it should be fun.
We just want to get back to the World Cup, Stefan. That's what we want to do first. After that, we'll see how it goes. I mean,
let's just hope it doesn't rain and nobody needs to be carried over a puddle.
Yes, that's certainly the bad memories that we all hold. you know, that combination of players, though, and if you look at the group, and I had some fun on Twitter where I posted just the clubs of a potential lineup for a U.S. men's national team friendly in Europe coming up in November. Not even, hey, this is what you would start in a World Cup qualifier. And on that list, I mean, it had Bayern Munich, it had Borussia Dortmund, it had Chelsea, obviously it had Juventus now. And so as you know, an observer of American soccer, but certainly not somebody who is as passionate about the national team as I am, what do you does this represent for you a change, any fundamental change in the way that people in Europe think about American players, or is it just sort of the natural progression of what soccer is in this country?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you need to think about that the scouting infrastructure of European clubs has changed over the last 5 years. Everything is more connected and it's far easier to scout players in the United States. On the other hand, I will say this. If you look at Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna, for example, you see two kids that I think both were born to basically professional players, right? And I still think, even if you now have a swell of a lot of talent coming out of the United States in comparison to before, I still think that it's problematic that the kids that are coming through are in some cases very privileged. Because if you think about grassroots soccer and where it all starts for kids, it's very expensive. And obviously in the United States, the income inequality is very high, and you know, there are a lot of kids here that love to play soccer, but to do it in an organized way where you can actually get spotted by a European scout, that is very hard to achieve. So I still think there's a lot of work ahead, and some of this cannot be achieved by the United States Federation itself, just because of the structural problems that lie in this country. So, you know, I would love to see more talent come through, but we mustn't forget that in some sense, Drena and Pulisic in particular have been very privileged in the help they got and the way they could achieve their goal.
Yeah, I've mentioned that on quite a few occasions, that I think it's important to say that that's the son of a coach and a former professional player and the son of an American legend. Those things matter for the exposure that they got and the opportunities that they received. However,
Does Steve Cherundolo got any kids?
Let's hope. Obviously, you know, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, slightly different stories. Not that they weren't privileged on some level, but obviously these are, first of all...
They're positive examples, definitely.
Yeah, right.
So just wanted to point it out.
And I do think it's worth putting a little, you know, defining the difference between those players, even as we can be excited for all of them. And again, before we wrap this up, because we're talking about Giovanni Reyna, and we're talking about Borussia Dortmund, and that's the focus, and certainly your focus. Let me ask you about Weston McKennie, because while I think we all believed he was talented, to see him land at Juventus was a surprise. In his opening game against Sampdoria, a game that Juventus won going away, he was iffy for a little while, settled into the match. Any surprises that for you about, after seeing him at Schalke, which, you know, admittedly was kind of a mess last year and is already a mess this year by 8 goals, what do you think of Weston McKennie?
Well, I don't know what to think of Weston McKennie. That's the problem, because on the one hand, I see a talented player, sure, but someone that has a ceiling that is, I would, in the Bundesliga, I said, he's an average player, not the top tier, but he's a good midfielder for Schalke level. Now, Juventus signs him and plugs him in and it works, which makes me obviously reconsider as I'm confronted with a new set of facts. And maybe, just maybe, you know, it was Schalke just keeping him down, considering how poorly run and disorganized this club is, and how the level of performance has dropped for Schalke. So I don't know. Weston McKennie is still very young. How old is he? Like
22. He's 22. Yeah.
So he can still develop in so many ways, and I think getting a good tactical apprenticeship at Juventus, let's put it this way, will only help in that regard, and training with a set of way better players than you find at Schalke.
Well, it goes to show you that, and we're talking about your club that does a very good job of taking young, talented players, raw players, and putting them into an environment where they can succeed. And, you know, you mentioned Mats Hummels and Alex Witsel. Those are players that are important to that structure that allows a 17-year-old to thrive in that system, rather than sort of just be in a mess, a chaotic, you know, again, not every club can be Borussia Dortmund, but it's important. It shows you how important it is. It's, well, you know, and again, maybe Weston McKennie is not a world-class midfielder, but if Pirlo uses him effectively and that he's surrounded by a higher caliber of player, maybe he shows better. And it would be impossible for us to know, based on what we saw at Schalke, whether he could be that good. And I don't know, it's fascinating to consider, because we think we know players, and then the situation dictates a lot of times.
Yeah, it does. And what's crazy also, there's like a plethora of players, especially of Italian midfielders that look like talentless hacks and then score goals and in World Cups and do amazing things. So I think because football or soccer is such a complex game, and there's so many aspects and facets to learn and to master, that if you focus on different aspects of the game, sometimes a mental thing, sometimes a tactical thing, whatever you like, that there's always so much room for growth, that once you have a change of environment, that your focus on different aspects of your own game can shift. And obviously this can be the case for McKennie. What is nice for him, I would say this, is that the Italian press and Juventus itself have really hyped this transfer. You know, when he arrived, you know, there were already the cameras at the airport and whatnot. He was a regular, you know, average Schalke midfielder at this point. So if it were me and I were the decision maker at the Juve PR department, I wouldn't say, okay, let's give him the, let's not unroll the red carpet. Let's just, you know, announce it with one tweet and let's see where it goes. But they actually put him on a pedestal, which is very perilous, obviously, if it goes wrong. But if it goes right, he's actually uplifted with that.
Yeah.
So I think since it has worked out so far, only one game in, and we'll see if the virtuous circle in 3 weeks. But for now, I think it's a positive thing to do.
I'll finish with a question here, and I'm putting you on the spot, okay? Stefan Buschko from the Yellow Wall podcast. Is Giovanni Reyna going to be a bigger star at Dortmund than Christian Pulisic was?
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't. I think it will be equal, but maybe just because he is a bit more of the player type that Dortmund fans like, and maybe he hangs around for a bit longer. But I'll always say this, if it doesn't work out for Gio Reyna as a footballer, he can always work as a Benicio Del Toro impersonator. So he's got that going for him.
I never heard that one before. I have to take that. Look at that side by side. Stefan Buschko from the Yellow Wall podcast. Make sure you you follow them and check out everything they're doing on Dortmund, especially this year with Giovanni Reyna set to play, we hope, 25 starts for Dortmund. Stefan, thank you, man. Thank you for coming by. Appreciate you. It. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Best Soccer Show. Thanks to Stefan Buschko from the Yellow Wall podcast for coming by to talk about Giovanni Reyna and his bright, bright future. Make sure you go hit up Apple Podcasts to give us a rating and review. It helps us out, gets more people listening to the program, which means more good stuff for you. We also have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/JDandTheRod. It's me and Jared in a Slack. We make bonus content. Got lots of stuff going on. So join up there for extra stuff from us. I guess I have to thank Jared Dubois for coming by, too. I mean, he gave just the lowest level of effort possible, and yet he was here, and I do appreciate it. We're back on Sunday night with our live show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Podcast out on Monday morning. Subscribe, rate, review, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.